Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The 2026 State of the Nation Address was delivered last Thursday and was followed by a heated debate in Parliament. The opposition party accused it of being more of a State of Intention address than a State of the Nation. But it got me thinking also about the role the GNU has played in the government and what we can expect going towards more elections. I'm absolutely delighted to have John Matteson, leading political analyst, journalist and author, as my guest to explore further. John, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Good to be here.
It's lovely to have you on the show. John, should we talk about the latest State of the Nation address? What was your take out 1 week later?
Well, look, you know, the general situation in South Africa is improving at last. I've been very pessimistic for a long time, and I'm definitely a little more optimistic. And so the president was able to point to the fact that there is this slight turn upwards. Certain things have been fixed. Electricity is better. We're off the grey list. Our bond prices are getting better. So all these are signs of greater confidence. Things are getting better. But the president doesn't govern. I mean, what you've got to realize, and I'm talking to a lot of analysts and diplomats around the Sona speech, it's clear that the president doesn't govern like any president I've ever covered before, overseas or here. He doesn't make decisions and instruct his cabinet. And so what you see is wish lists and commissions and all sorts of things that he should be able to handle himself. I mean, the most obvious recent case was when he instructed the military not to have Iran in those naval exercises with China and Russia, and the military ignored him. And I was surprised to discover how many analysts and really people whose opinions I respect say, no, the defense ministry doesn't listen to him. They don't listen to either the presidency or Durko, which is really extraordinary. And so for him to set up a commission to investigate that, you know, when any normal president or prime minister would just make a phone call and say, I want the person responsible in my office immediately and I want a decision, and heads would roll. But he doesn't govern like that, and that's reflected in the Sona.
Following Sona all the years in the past, the opposition party always criticizes Sona, it seems, irrespective of who's in power and who's in opposition. But I did start thinking about the role of the GNU and what impact it has had in terms of both the opposition to our country and also in terms of the governing of our country.
Well, it's a complicated thing. I think that the big threat for any junior party in a coalition is that you get destroyed at the next election. That's what happened in Britain with the coalition between the Conservatives and the Liberals. The Liberals were then destroyed. And the DA are alive to that, and they have averted it so far, I believe, by and large. Even though a lot of the time, particularly John Steenhuisen, the leader of the DA, the outgoing leader, often speaks so differently from anything he did when he was an opposition leader. Mm. You know, the ANC could do nothing right. He tore them apart every chance he got. And now it almost reminds you of the old apartheid days, uns dank die Minister, you know, we thank the minister. But I don't think that's a totally fair reflection of what's going on. What's holding this GNU together is one thing. Both the ANC and the DA do their opinion polling, and they're obsessed with it. And they both know that the party that walks away from the GNU will be punished by the electorate. And that's why they're both in there. The second thing is, you know, really the quality of government, both politicians and a lot of the bureaucratic leadership, has got so poor and so compromised by both competence and corruption that the DA have had to come in They weren't necessarily that well prepared. I mean, there are exceptions. I think Leon Schreiber, the Minister of Home Affairs, was particularly well prepared if you look at his own background. But by and large, they weren't. They're by and large better quality, more honourable, trying to do the right thing. But they come in and get in overwhelmed. I mean, this is not something they'll tell you, but I know I've been in government. And you go, and I've also watched people I knew, how they've changed over time. You go into government and everything, all of politics is theory till you go into government. And then you realize you don't know how to turn the lights on in government. You have all these officials who are, of course, at this point, all ANC deployees. And they tell you things and you don't know what to make of it, but they can make your life very miserable. And you're just one person. So you have to be well prepared. So I don't think the DA have done fabulously by any means, but they have improved things. And what you've got to look at is the next stage.
John, when our president was talking about the good news, like you, I was very heartened to hear the information. But there's like a cognitive dissonance, because we know that, for example, in Johannesburg, we barely have water, we don't have electricity, and yet things are looking better. Can you help explain that?
Well, nationally, the economy has sort of turned a corner. You can't put it, I wouldn't put it any like as glowingly as the president does. But if you look at the numbers and the various metrics, we do seem like we could be turning a corner for the better. But, you know, the other point I want to make is that the election of the mayor in Johannesburg is the big game changer. If Helen Zille makes it as the, not, she won't get over 50%, I don't think, but if she's the biggest party and she can form a strong coalition government with only one or maybe two partners, so that she has stability to bring the change, that I think is a massive game changer for South Africa, and it will set the tone for the 2029 national elections. And that'll start to see the fix we need in Johannesburg.
We obviously, the upcoming elections are going to dominate South African politics this year, and we don't have enough time to talk about that, but I know you are going to be my guest in 2 weeks' time. But I just thought we could talk a little bit about foreign affairs and how Durko has single-handedly, in spite of the GNU, managing to determine foreign affairs.
Well, it was clear from day one. In fact, I predicted this before the election. I sort of predicted stuff early, and I was pleased to be right, because I hate being wrong, but I admit it when I am. I always knew the ANC would be forced to form a coalition. I was pretty certain it would be the DA, but the red line for them would be what they call the security ministries. They would keep defense, Durko, and police and things, and intelligence and so on, and they did. So it was always in their genes that this is the thing they wanted to control. And so the DA has had almost no impact there, to be honest.
And how do you see that playing out?
I think over time it's going to change. I mean, my thesis is that the ANC is an empty shell. You know, I knew Mandela, and I sat around a table with Mandela and the other leaders of the ANC in the early 90s. And the quality, you know, you could disagree with them on a lot of things, but they were very high quality people. You look at the ANC cabinet now, the quality is really weak. The ANC is an empty shell financially, ideologically, economically, in terms of personnel. They don't have leaders coming up that can take over and really have imagination that the old generation aren't prepared for in the new times. So I think the ANC is an empty shell and it's collapsing. And the question is who's going to fill the vacuum? And that's why the elections in Joburg are so important. And Jordan Hill Lewis, I think, will be the new leader of the DA in April. And then we'll see.
It's going to be really interesting. We have to kind of leave it here because we are running out of time. But you are back in 2 weeks' time. And I thought by then we should know what exactly has happened with the ambassador from America to South Africa, Mr. Brent Bozell. if I'm pronouncing that, the third.
He's already here. And
no,
he'll
he's
be
here.
Accepted.
He'll quite be accepted. Because I'd like to get your thoughts then about what exactly is going to happen between South Africa and America, because it's also kind of, we're sitting on a knife's edge watching the two countries play. But thank you so much for joining me.
Pleasure.
That's John Mattison. He is a leading political and analyst and also an author.